Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is the Anna DeVellantes Show, and I'm G Suki, otherwise known just as G, just like the letter G, filling in. I've been with you all week for Anna. She's taking a much-deserved week off and spending time with family during the holidays. And I thank you so much for letting me keep you company throughout the week, and hope you've had a wonderful holiday week, whether you celebrate or not. Hopefully you've gotten some good time in with friends and family and loved ones. It's a beautiful day. It was gray most of the day, but now it's I see a little sunshine peeking out on Michigan Avenue, which looks really great here from the WGN Radio studios. We've got a fun show for you today. Of course, we've got a few days left in 2019, and this means prepare yourself for the next couple of days. Everyone's going to be talking about everything that happened in the last year and also predicting what's going to happen in 2020. On top of that, we're ending a decade. I know some people say the decade's not over until the end of the decade, but, you know, everyone's thinking about this, you know, looking at the entire decade that we are leaving as well. So a lots to look back on and lots to think about in terms of what's ahead of us. So we're going to have a co-founder from Block Club Chicago, which is a fantastic hyper-local news organization here in the city that's going to be talking about maybe the big stories that impacted us throughout the past year, as well as This Is Friday, and Anna always has a relationship expert on. And today we're going to have Vicki Reese. She is the founder of the wonderful online community Joy of Mom, and she's going to be talking about the importance of relationships, communicating with your children as you approach the new year, and setting goals and family goals, not just individual goals, but goals for the entire family, because that's definitely got to think about that individually and then as a unit as well. But what I'm really excited about is somebody that my producer, Ashley, has filled me in on. And by the way, Ashley, because I always run out by the end of the show, so I need to thank you now for being here with me all week. Thanks for making sure that I'm not alone during the holidays.
Oh, never. I would never let you be alone for the holidays.
And you've been working here at WGN Radio for how long?
About 2 years now.
Okay, as a freelancer, you're very young. You're a youngin'.
I'm a youngin'.
But you're smart and on top of things and organized, and I so appreciate you being here this week.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me be with you this week.
Are you kidding? I'm so honored, and just so honored to be here filling in for Anna as well and getting to talk to you, the listeners. And I'm hoping, if you are listening to me, that you'll call in and text in. The number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Of course, you know the number by heart, but just in case you don't, I repeated it there twice for you. We're going to have an astrologer in studio very shortly. And Ashley is the one that introduced me to Astrologer Anne. Her full name is Anne Nordhaus-Bike. And she is a longtime professional astrologer and award-winning astrology journalist. And I know, I mean, some of you listening are going to be excited about this, and some of you might be rolling your eyes a little bit. I always think it's fun. I'm not somebody that lives my life by my monthly horoscope, but I always am someone that enjoys reading my monthly horoscope. And we thought, it's Friday, why don't we do a little something fun? Maybe have you call in. She does a lot of readings over the phone, you said, as well, Ashley?
She sure does. She's the one.
Okay.
She's the best.
Okay. So she does have a article that she writes as well that people can check out. But the cool thing about her is she takes calls from listeners and shares what's in the stars for every astrology sign. And, you know, I'm not a complete believer, but at the same time, sometimes the horoscope is right on. And I have been to astrologists where I do feel as though they've given me some insight based on my star chart. So I think this is pretty exciting, and it's going to be fun more than anything. So if you're around, you're listening to me right now, and you'd love to have astrologer Ann talk about what might be in your future for 2020 and what challenges might be in front of you and what great things might be happening to you as well, you can call in, and then she can do a reading over the radio live. And we don't even have to use your real name. So there we go. If you want to be anonymous, we can make it anonymous too. But I'm excited. I'm going to have her read me for sure, because I need as much insight as possible on my life. And she says, by the way, that eclipses are a huge part of 2020. You know what? A Harvard professor says that most of us overlook a simple way to be happier because it costs money, but it doesn't cost a lot of money. This professor says that if you want to spend money wisely, instead of buying a new purse, new shoes, new car, new whatever, consider spending your money on things that will eliminate stressful stuff from your to-do list. And that means it's worth it to pay someone to perhaps maybe deliver your groceries. You know, a lot of that Amazon Prime from groceries, you can just get everything delivered. Do your laundry, maybe clean your house once a month. That spending money to eliminate our most stressful daily or weekly tasks is one of the best ways you can spend your money. And it's one of the ways that money actually can buy you happiness, because in a way, it's buying you time. So this leads to greater happiness and less stress. So it doesn't have to be a ton of money. It could just be you're spending the extra $10 to get the groceries delivered. If you can fit that into your budget, it's a wise way to do it if it keeps you from being stressed out. So why don't you text in as well and let us know what you like to spend money on that helps you get through. And later on in the show, I've got a list of the 13 gadgets that made the biggest impact in this past decade. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, but a lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Welcome back to the Anna De Volantes Show. Okay, astrologer Ann, you are in studio.
Yeah, I'm
so excited to have you here. Also, I love your hair. I wish everyone could see it.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Fresh for the holiday.
I know. I love it. It's so festive. Sorry, did I not have the... I thought I had the right mic on. Apparently, I did not. Sorry, everybody.
Good afternoon, listeners.
Know. Now they can hear you.
Yay!
I think I was just so blown away by your beautiful hair and the color. You have multiple colors in there.
I do.
Can you describe the hair for people listening?
Sure. I just had it done. Actually, my stylist was like, we have to do something for the holidays. So it's green as like a base, like as if you had evergreens. There's a little yellow in there for the Star of the East, but mostly it's red on the top. So I'm like, I'm a walking poinsettia on the top of my head. I'm a walking holiday.
Oh, I love it. You know what? I'm saying the more festive, the better.
Yes.
We need all the positivity we can get. And, you know, I was trying to describe you and what you do a little bit earlier, but I think it's better that you do it just in case, because I think there are people that, you know, actually check in on their horoscope and they really use it as a guide. I think some people just sort of check in and sort of believe.
Yeah.
Kind of like I do.
Yeah.
And then I think there are people that are listening right now that are rolling their eyes. So can you explain a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah. Well, I'm a professional astrologer and have been for many years, as well as a longtime writer. And I actually, the awards I've won in astrology are related to my journalism and writing there. In fact, some of the work that I did here in WGN. But anyway, because I've been coming here for several years, since 2012, actually, as your in-house astrologer for several shows here. But with astrology, what's cool about it is you don't have to believe in it for you to be able to use it and work it. Famous leaders for thousands of years have used astrology for running countries, running corporations. And one of the old sayings is, anyone can be a millionaire, but to be a billionaire, you need an astrologer. That's supposedly J.P. Morgan who said
that.
So many business people actually use it, even if they don't talk about it, because it's great. It's a timing device. It's the most incredibly practical thing out there, because it was originally developed to figure out when to plant the crops. Had to be accurate.
So it is an ancient discipline then.
5,000-6,000 years back at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you get started in it?
My dad was into astrology. I grew up in this household with 7 children, and so there were lots of different signs to know about, and I learned about it and it stuck, and I went at it as a grown up, as a professional person.
you know what? The phones have already lit up.
Yeah.
There are people calling in. Because, you know, I do think it's when it's a new year, there's a lot of pressure because you feel as though whether this year went badly or it went, you know, really great for you.
Yeah.
There's pressure, I think, for everybody when it turns into a new year because you want the new year to be good.
Absolutely.
And especially more if you've maybe not had the best year,
yeah,
you know, behind you.
And if you might feel like, wow, I should have done that differently, there's definitely that
right.
nostalgic thing of looking back. It's really actually good to look back at the last year and think about, well, what went well or what didn't? What do I want to do differently?
Well, you know, we are going to take some calls. We're going to have you do some live readings. But first, I want to get a general overview of what you're feeling for 2020.
This is a history-making year. This is big. If people have never paid any attention to astrology before, or if they quote-unquote don't believe in it, or they're a little hesitant, this is the year to get serious about it and actually listen to a bit of it, because it's going to be a very jumbly, kind, sometimes very stressful year. It's going to take us to some great places, but if you're not paying attention to timing, you could be super frustrated. And astrology can help you more than anything else with that.
Well, it's so funny, because now I hear a lot of my friends using astrology terms willy-nilly, and they'll say, I'll say, I can't find this, and oh gosh, my day just hasn't gone well. And they'll say, well, gee, Mercury is in retrograde. And I feel as though I have one friend that just says that it's in retrograde all the time. So I say to her, you're not an astrologist. And every time I talk to you, you're saying it's in retrograde. So
yeah.
Anything like that upcoming?
Oh, yes. Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year. For about 3 weeks.
Oh, so then maybe she was right. So this has been happening to me quite a lot.
And if anybody who's a Gemini or a Virgo are out there listening, like our lovely producer, Ashley, fabulous Ashley, may I reveal your sign, Ashley?
I think she's taking calls. She's got so many callers.
She's a Gemini sign. She's a Gemini.
Oh, well, so. I'm a Taurus Aries cusp. I'm April 23rd.
April 23rd. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm almost sure that that's probably Taurus.
Is that, yes, is it going to be a good year or a bad year for me?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first, we can take good and bad away. Stuff is.
Okay.
It's what you do with it. And astrology can help you do the good stuff with it.
Okay. Well, listen, let's talk to somebody right now.
Cool.
I promised that we would. So
okay.
I've got a couple of minutes before I have to take a break. So, okay. So let's talk to Sue. I'm going to do this fairly by just going on. Oh, wait. Let's talk to Sue first. There we go. Sue. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Thank
you. Where are you calling from, if you don't mind revealing?
In Wheaton.
Very nice. Sue from Wheaton. Okay.
So hello, Sue.
Yeah. What's your question for astrologer Anne?
My question is, I want to know if 2020 is going to be a good year. I've had some heartbreaks this year. My boyfriend passed away, 5 months ago. So,
oh, my goodness. First of all, we are so sorry, and our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
So sorry just, to hear that,
you know,
Sue. That was this year,
looking,
then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your sign?
Cancer.
And what was your boyfriend's sign?
Capricorn.
Okay. And so, what's the main area? Do you have a main area you're thinking about, or is it in general? Any big thing that's top of mind?
Just if the new year is going to be successful in my job and in maybe love.
Yeah.
Too.
I'm here to give you some good news. Yes, last year was tough for you. It was tough for anybody who was a Cancer or Capricorn, and in some respects, much more for the Cancers, because you guys are ruled by the moon. It's a very feeling, emotional planet. And it's a luminary, but we call it a planet in astrology. You're ruled by the moon. You're so changeable and you're so sensitive and you're so tender. So if for you, it probably was like triple hurt when you lost this lovely person. So I'm so sorry for that. Also,
thank you.
He was a Capricorn, I think you said.
Yeah.
So he was your opposite sign. So opposites attract. So you guys were probably really good together. All that said, I will offer this information. G talked about the eclipses a minute ago. The eclipses mm-hmm. have been in Cancer and Capricorn. That means dramatic change that pushes you forward and forces you to evolve. It was a big change, obviously, for your boyfriend. Also, huge change for you. You have new opportunities coming. We're going to have some more eclipses coming in those signs, but they're going to pass by May. They will finally end. We had an interesting one on Christmas Day here in Chicago.
Wow, Wow, fantastic.
About 11:15 p.m. So if anybody was east of Chicago, it happened the next day for them. That was a beautiful solar eclipse when the sun and moon came together in Capricorn. That's a new start for you for marriage relationships and new people coming into your life. This is the time to do it, to start thinking about this. Sounds like you are.
Yes, yes. I'm just looking optimistically and just looking so forward to a brand new year.
Well, yes. You deserve it. It sounds like it's headed your way, and
yes.
Astrologer Anne is saying it is. So I think this is very good news for you.
New lease on life for you. Now it's time for you to do some healing and a little bit of work behind the scenes. Maybe a little self-improvement, a little health. If you need a therapist, which you might, just to work through some stuff, go and do that if you need to. That would be really smart for you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Sue. We really appreciate it. And of course, we are sending a lot of positive thoughts your way. And I think all this advice is great for you, especially with you getting through grief and suffering such a huge loss in 2019. But 2020 sounds a lot better. So thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Go gently.
Oh, that's so kind. That's so sweet. I love that saying. Okay, let's talk to Carlos. He wants to know about his job. Carlos, do you mind telling us where you're calling from?
Sure, I come from Chicago.
Very nice. Okay, what's your question? I think it's related to your job.
I think it has to do with financial and employment.
So are you not currently working at all?
Oh, no, yes, I'm working, but some changes are in place.
Okay, so are you looking to get a promotion, or are you worried that you might get laid off? What's happening?
I'm worried that I might get let go.
What's your sign, Carlos?
A Virgo.
Virgo. This kind of stuff is tough for Virgos. Remember, we were talking about the Mercury stuff and Mercury retrograde. You're ruled by Mercury, just like Gemini is. And so that can make you kind of a nervous, excitable sign in the sense that you can be a little bit anxious about stuff. You want stuff to stay in motion. And one thing I would say, remember we talked about these eclipses that are going to shift in May? Those are going to shift to Gemini and Sagittarius. And what that is, that's your career house and your home house. What that means is it might end something, but if it does, it's going to bring in something better. I want to give you the dates of those eclipses that are coming. There's one on June 5th. It's a lunar eclipse that's at home. So you might have a shift at home. And then you're going to have another shift, which is cool. It's a lunar eclipse in Gemini in November. And then a total solar eclipse in Sagittarius in December. So these are things for you to pay attention to, that things, you might see a door close, but some new doors are going to open. They always do when something ends. So, you know, it'd be good for you to look at money and be a little bit more conservative with it.
Carlos, I think that's really good advice. What do you think?
I think it's wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Okay, astrologer Anne, people want to hear from you, and they want to know your answers to their questions. Of course, we're going to be taking a lot more of listeners' calls after we take this quick break. But right now, let's check in with the news. Welcome back to the Anna De Volantes Show. We have astrologer Anne, who has been lighting up the call board and the text line as well. We're going to get to those. But I wanted you to give us one more tip about 2020. You were telling me about these eclipses. You were telling the callers about them. So that means change.
Yep.
And you want us to get out of this mind frame of good versus bad.
Correct. Correct. Because change is just change. We want to put those labels of good and bad on it. And so how often? Probably every single one of us could look back and say, when something happened, at the immediate moment, we felt this is terrible. But down the road, we realized it was the best thing that ever happened to us. Can we make that shift a little sooner? Okay, get over the shock really quickly and then go, what can I do with this? That's life.
And you said that lots of planets go into retrograde, but there are two planets that normally don't, and that they are going to in 2020?
Yes. Well, I will say every planet in our solar system goes retrograde except the sun and the moon. And they're actually not truly planets, although we call them that. They're the luminaries, the two lights in the sky.
Okay.
Everything else goes retrograde, but there's two planets only go retrograde about every other year. Venus and Mars. It's all about love, relationships, men and women. And those are both going retrograde this year.
So, Anne, good or bad?
Ah!
I know you just told me not to ask for those terms, but everybody listening wants to know, is this, what do you, so love, it's all about love in 2020?
A lot of it is, yeah, and about getting right with all this stuff. When something goes retrograde, it's a chance to stop, look and listen, go back over old ground. So what's cool about it is you could have someone from your past resurface.
What?
Don't get engaged, though, till it goes forward, because you won't see all the truth of a situation, but you could get friendly with folks from the past. You might go, maybe I overlooked this person. When it goes forward again, then, oh, who are they really?
Wait, but when does it go forward again? What does that mean?
Oh, when the retrograde ends. So Venus, the love planet, is going to go retrograde in May and June. 6 weeks in the sign of Gemini. Ashley, note to self, any of the people who are Geminis. And then Mars is going to go retrograde almost all of September as well as October and halfway through November. That's long. And Mars is the driver. It rules men as well as taking charge, speed, getting stuff done. And it's going to feel like we can't get anything done. It's incredibly frustrating if people aren't aware of it. But if they are, it's like, great time to take a vacation. Great time to stop and look at, what do we do all the time? Should we be doing all these things? Maybe some of them don't need to be done anymore.
Okay. So don't get engaged until November, you're saying.
You can do it in between these retrogrades. And actually, I will say I'm putting out an article next week. If anybody's listening and wants this stuff, sign up for my newsletter now, because this stuff is coming out next week and you'll be the first to get it.
And your website?
Is astrologerann, A-N-N-E, all run together, .com.
Well, we're talking about love and relationships, and on the phone with us is Marie. And Marie, what is your sign?
It's Gemini.
Oh, it's Gemini. Okay. And of course, you have a question about your 50th wedding anniversary.
It's Valentine's Day of this year coming up. We're going to have a big party with friends and family to help celebrate our life and what everyone has done in our life and done with us through our life. But we both turned 70 this year, so
wow.
It's like, I know one of your other callers had mentioned a saddening. We lost our daughter 13 years ago, but we had a wonderful life with her. She was our only one, and she was married, and her family is going to be with us for our celebration. But my husband and I want to know how we're doing moving forward. What's going to be happening for us?
I'd say if you've been married 50 years, you're doing something really right, wouldn't you say? And you both reach 70 and you sound fabulous, so you must be doing something super duper right. Oh my goodness me, how great. This wonderful event that you're going to have, Valentine's Day always comes during the time of Aquarius, which is really fun. It's a great time to think differently. So if you want to do something a little outside the box, that might be a fun thing for you to do for your 50th anniversary. But you said you're Gemini. What's your husband's sign?
He is, he's Cancer, and our daughter was Leo.
Ah, okay. Great. So he is the sensitive one, and I'm guessing you're the more, like, intellectual one who's like, okay, I'm over this, and you have to give him a little bit more time, maybe, to deal with feelings, perhaps? Marie, you with us?
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I can now. Perfect.
That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So it sounds to me, too, as if you've managed to figure that out. How do you deal with your deeply logical nature and his more feeling nature? But it sounds like you guys are fabulous together. But I would say watch the Mercury retrogrades, always for you. Always for you. And for him, always watch the eclipses.
Well, thanks so much, Marie, for calling in. Thanks so much for calling in, Marie. We really appreciate it. Hope that helps.
Thank you.
Have a great party.
There was a little bit of echo there, so I was trying to help fix that. Okay, so a lot more callers on the line. We have about 30 seconds, and just wanted to know, this is from a texter, born November 15th from the 815. My name is Jessica. I'm curious about my health and finances. And she's November 15th.
November 15th. So, Jessica, you're a Scorpio. And so you're... finances. That's so interesting. You're asking about that. The eclipses we've been talking about, they've been in your communication and travel houses because they've been in Cancer, Capricorn. They're going to slip backwards in the zodiac and they're going to move into Gemini and Sagittarius. That's your money houses. So if you felt like things aren't really working, or maybe you need a job change or something, this is an opportunity to close some doors and then open some new ones. You're going to get the first eclipse in this June 5th in Sagittarius.
Astrologer Anne, I think that was some positive news that you just gave to the 815. Jessica, hope you heard it. Okay, so a lot more coming up with Astrologer Anne, but right now we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. The phone board has been lighting up, including the text board as well for Astrologer Anne. You know what? I think a lot of people want to know your guidance. They want to know the answers to their questions because the turn of a new year, it's hopeful.
Yeah.
It's a little anxiety ridden, I think, because it feels like the end of a decade. So you want this next new year to a new decade to start off in a really great way. Okay, so let's talk to Joe. He's been on hold for quite some time. Joe, how are you? Oh, do we have Joe on the line?
You hear me?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi.
You're live on WGN Radio. What's your question for Astrologer Anne? But first, you got to tell me what your sign is.
Actually, I'm a Scorpio with Leo rising, October 26th. Is that birthday?
Cool. Okay.
And what's your question?
Just more in general. Unfortunately, I went through a divorce earlier this year, and just was curious about, you know, the coming year. I have younger kids as well, so just if you had some, you know, general advice. That'd be awesome.
Oh, goodness me. So you are a Scorpio. Your opposite sign is Taurus. We were talking offline during one of the breaks about what's going on with Taurus. The planet Uranus, the big planet of change and sudden shifts, has been moving through your marriage house. It's possible that this change in your relationship status might have been a little unexpected, or maybe the timing wasn't your choice. And when you have stuff that happens in that house, it also can affect stuff like career, home, and your own personal projects. Obviously, I'm guessing it must have, Joe, right?
It has. It's been a very challenging, busy year. But as you said, I mean, when you look at problems, sometimes you got to look at the positive that comes out of it. So.
Right. Right. If you need to be freed from something, that's what Uranus is going to do for you here. And it's also going to ask, you may be attracted some interesting people who are more airy and more independent minded and more unusual out of the box than you're used to. So this is an opportunity. But I will also say this is your big chance with all these planets in Capricorn, especially right now and all year. That's where these eclipses have been. This is your chance to work on stuff related to communication. Especially with siblings, neighbors, and anything having to do with travel of any kind is up for review for you. And then that's going to shift for you in May to money stuff. So get this communication stuff squared away, and you'll be ready for the next relationship if you want one.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Delighted you called.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Thank you, Joe, for calling in. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller. You know what I love, Anne, is that you give specifics as to what time of year in terms of month that they should be, the listener should refocus what they're thinking about. So
right.
Prioritizing. I love that part. Okay,
thank you.
So we're talking to Joanne. Hi, Joanne. Where are you calling from, if you don't mind sharing? Hello, Joanne?
Yes.
Hello.
I'm calling from Bartlett.
Okay, Joanne from Bartlett. And I am sorry to hear that your husband passed away about 2 years ago. We're so sorry to hear that. Can you give us your sign so that way Astrologer Anne can answer your question?
Okay. I'm a Leo, and he was a Sagittarius.
And what's your question for Anne?
Just money and in general.
Yeah.
You know, that's really about
Yeah. These changes I was talking about earlier, Joanne, would have affected you in terms of stuff like marriage, as well as your public status. And obviously, when a spouse dies, that changes your public status. You're no longer walking around as a married lady. You're walking around as a widowed lady. And so I'm so sorry for your loss. You sound like a strong person, though. I want to honor that about you because, you know, you're still here.
I try to be.
And I bet the sparks flew in that marriage, too, because if you're a fire sign and so is Sagittarius, I bet that was some fabulous, sparky, wonderful energy between the two of you. But in terms of what's coming.
We had. Quite a few.
Yeah.
But we managed.
Yeah. I I would suggest to you, it would be really good for you to watch the sun change signs every month. Right now, we're in Capricorn, and so stuff's coming up for you about health. In fact, it's all about health for you right now in your daily routine. You need to streamline that, clean that up, because you don't have a spouse in the house anymore. It needs to be what's going to work for you for your health and long-term. And then watch the signs change. It happens the third week of every month, so it's going to go into Aquarius around January 21st, and then another month after that's going to change signs. Follow the sun around the zodiac. I have a book called Follow the Sun. You can find it on my website. That would really help you. Every Leo really needs to pay attention every month when the sun changes signs. That will really help you, but you sound like you're actually doing really well.
Well, I try to.
Well, Joanne,
sometimes I don't, but I try.
Well, Joanne, we really appreciate you calling in, and we hope astrologer Anne helped you with this reading.
Yes, she did. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in. Okay, so, Anne, I have a texter from the 708. She's given her name. It's Lauren, and her birthday is March 6th. She's a Pisces. She really wants to know about her mother's health, who is a Taurus, May 16th.
Okay.
Is May 16th Taurus?
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah, it's approximately April 19th or 20th through May 22nd.
Got it. So this is a texter from the 708, Lauren.
Yeah.
And she's a Pisces, and she really wants to know about her mother's health.
Well, first of all, that's so Pisces. It's so sweet that you almost care more about other people than yourself. So remember, Lauren, in all of this, take care of you, too, because if mom needs help, you need to take care of you, too, so you can. But if your mom's health is a question, if she's a Taurus, remember I was saying earlier to G that she's got Uranus in Taurus, and Uranus is this plan of this unexpected change that happens, and it's going to sit there for 7 years. It started a year or two ago. It's going to be there for another 6 years. When you have that in your own sign, Uranus really brings so much change that you have to watch your nervous system. So what I'd recommend for your mom is be really taking super good care of herself, everything she can do to stay calm. This would be a great time to start a meditation program or something like that, just to make sure her nervous system is always kind of copacetic, even keel, you know, regular meals, good bedtime, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think this caller would be perfect to take now. We have about a minute or so left.
We'll talk fast.
Yes, but she's asking about what's happening in her daughter's life. So I thought that would be a nice follow-up because we just left someone who's asking about her mother. And we have, I think it's Denise on the phone. Hi, Denise. Can you tell me what your sign is?
Hi, I'm Cancer.
Okay, and what's your question about your daughter? We love that you're concerned about your daughter's 2020. Of course, all moms are, but we love that you're calling in and asking about her future.
She's also a Cancer. She's on, I'm the 23rd, and she's the 28th. And I was just wondering, she's been wanting to start a family, and I was wondering if that's anywhere close in her future.
Oh, so if she's a Cancer also then. Wow.
Yes.
Well, one thing that you might really keep an eye on, she's got Mars in her conception house. It's down in Scorpio right
now. There's a conception house?
Yeah, there is. It's a romance house. It's you can create a baby or you can create an art project.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to know more about
I know. Is that the coolest thing? And so This might be, you know, a good time to be working on how the baby comes about, you know, if she's in a relationship, I'm assuming, you know, I don't want to totally assume that. Okay.
Her husband is also Cancer.
Okay, cool. One thing she might want to look for is when the new moon is going to come down in that conception house, which is, for her, it's Scorpio. So what you want to do is go to my website and find where the new moon in Scorpio will be. Those have just been posted, those articles. You could find the list. It's going to be coming up in the fall, like October or November. And that would be a great time to actually start moving on things. And if they need fertility help, that's a good time to go find somebody who can help do it. It's like you want that new energy. You don't want to do it when the moon's old. You want to do it's brand new. But I would also say that if she's a Cancer Capricorn, those eclipses we've been talking about so much have hit her too. And I bet she's ready for something happy and fun.
Well, Denise, I can't wait for you to tell your daughter what months to make sure that she's paying extra attention to this. So, you know, text us or call us back and let us know how that goes.
Yes.
I know daughters love it when mothers give advice, you know, when it comes to romance.
Oh, definitely.
So thank you so much, Denise. Really appreciate it. Hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You. So we've been talking with astrologer Anne, and we're going to have a lot more coming up with her. But right now. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. We have astrologer Anne in studio with us, answering a lot of your questions and doing a lot of your readings. But Anne, just in case someone's texting and calling in, then they don't get a chance to speak with you live on radio today, will you make sure to give us your website one more time and tell us what resources we can find on the website?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. It's www.astrologerann, all run together, astrologerann.com. And there's tons of resources there. If they go right now, they can get all the 2019 articles and they can look back on how they did. I've got long horoscopes there and a huge article about all these changes that happened in 2019. And coming soon, 2020 stuff.
I have a very specific question, if you can answer this in a minute or less, from the 636. Mm-hmm. So 636, will I see a change, promotion in my career with a possible relocation in 2020? September 11th is the birth date.
Okay.
So, this is a listener from the 636, September 11th.
Fascinating. As a matter of fact, yes.
Really? So you can definitively say yes.
They might. Very well might, because that's somebody who's a Virgo, and those career and home houses, that's where the eclipses are going to move into in May. That's the career house is Gemini, and the home house is Sagittarius. And those eclipses are going to open new doors and close old ones. So they might very well be seeing something. And anytime you got those things affected, it always affects the opposite house.
Wow. So that's a very specific question. So you do private readings as well?
I do. And people can find that on the website under readings.
And how long does a private reading usually take?
I talk longer. We always talk longer, but often it just lets an hour and a half, but often goes to 2 hours. And there's three different options. There's lots of opportunities on the site.
Well, fantastic. Okay, so we're going to have a lot more text questions and a lot more call-ins for astrologer Anne, and I'm going to learn a lot more about these houses. I'm hearing that there's a romance house, there's a wealth house, there's all kinds of houses, so I need to know more about this village, okay, in this neighborhood. All right, right now, let's check in with the WGN newsroom. Back with astrologer Anne. She's taking your texts and your phone calls. And this is not a fly-by-night practice. This is something that you have honed over your lifetime. And you were telling me that you graduated from
the University of Chicago.
And you even studied astrophysics.
Yeah, I didn't get a degree in it, but I did study it while I was there.
So this is something that you've spent, it's a lifetime of learning.
It is. And it's really more of a calling than just a job or profession. And it's a spiritual kind of thing. You really have to feel called to it because it's a helping profession.
And I can just tell by your spirit that you're someone that really wants to help the listener. I can tell that you'd really like to just stay on and tell them everything that's going to happen.
And that it's going to be okay. And when?
I know. I wish we could. I wish we could answer every single person's question. But the wonderful thing is that you have a website with resources. So if you're listening and your question doesn't get answered, please know that you can check out her website. The 847, this is a question from a texter named Diane. Thanks, Diane, for texting. Her sign is Libra. She's had back issues over this past year. Is this going to continue? What can I do to make changes? So back issues, of course, are so difficult to deal with. And so she's a Libra, and this is from the 847.
Yeah. I will say Libras have had a tough go of it because these eclipses have hit their career house as well as their home house. That's that Cancer Capricorn axis that we were talking about. So the good news for you, Diane, is that that's going to shift. That's going to change out of that house into your third and ninth houses related to travel, siblings. So it's going to take some pressure off. But I will say anything with health related, first of all, your health house, the sixth house, is Pisces. That means you need to look at alternatives to traditional medicine to complement it. You need to be doing stuff like yoga and gentle types of things, maybe dance, in addition to things that will help you, like flower essences, any of those kinds of things, as well as you might look at the psychological causes underlying. Back stuff is so often related to emotions. Make sure you always look at those pieces well.
Okay, the 630, a Leo with Cancer rising, need to schedule surgery this year. Any suggestions as to when I should schedule my knee replacement? Leo with Cancer rising from the 630.
Wow, knee replacement. Well, I will say this, Leo with Cancer ascendant, is Capricorn is related to knees. So if knee stuff is up right now for you, it's not a surprise. There are your house, your sixth house of health is loaded with Capricorn. So your timing, we just had a new moon right now in it. You might want to make a phone call to start talking seriously about the timing that's going on with that. Like right now might be a really good time to move on that.
Great. And the 217, July 15th, retirement age, but I'm working part time. Lots of changes going on where I work. So July 15th is the birth date. Deciding whether to stay, go, or just give it time. So definitely trying to decide whether to retire or completely stop working or work part-time.
Yeah, so we're looking at another Cancer Capricorn. And we talked earlier, look at all the people in this Cancer Capricorn axis who've been calling in for us. It's just absolutely amazing. But this whole thing about retirement, oh my goodness, you really want to pay attention to your career house. It's Aries. And we're going to get Aries' ruler, which is Mars, going backwards. Remember I talked earlier about September through November, it's going to be going backwards. So you may see a slowdown there. That might be your chance to really look at retirement there. And if not, you're going to be frustrated and you may feel like, I'm ready to be done.
Well, this is our last caller. So hi, Anne, you've got a question about romance for 2020, born March 20th. What's that sign?
That's Pisces.
Great.
And Aries.
And do you have a specific question for Anne about romance?
Well, I'm wondering, am I ready?
Gotcha. Okay.
I will say this. First of all, Anne, go to my website, astrologeranne.com, because if you're March 20th, you're born right on the edge. And they used to say that meant you were on the cusp, but there's really no such thing. If you know your time and place and date of birth, it's exact. You can find out the exact sign you are. And that'd be really important when you're asking questions like this, because it really affects it.
Okay.
Do you think of yourself as more of like an emotional feeling type of person, or more of a take charge, let's get going, get running on it?
I would say I'm a combo.
Yeah, you probably are, but we're trying to get at which is which. How do people see you?
I would say they might see me more take charge.
Yeah, you're probably Aries then. You're born right at the time of the equinox. And so definitely for you, check that out. And I'm sorry, the question was romance. Oh, my
Correct.
Goodness me. Yes. So if you are Aries, you want to pay attention to the new moon that's going to come in Leo, which is going to come this summer. So go find the new moon listing on my website, which you can find from the homepage. And if you're Pisces, you want to find the new moon in Cancer, which is going to be at the end of June and into July. You'll need to find out. You can get your birth chart to find out for sure what your sign is.
Okay, Anne, be sure to do that. I'm going to take one more caller, Joanne, just because she's been holding for so long. Thank you, Anne, for calling in. And now I have Joanne.
Hello.
What is your question? What's your sign and question for Anne? We're running out of time, so be...
Birth date is March 4th, 1960.
Okay.
Pisces.
For health issues and future romance, all that good stuff.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So for you, you want to look at what's going on. If it's romance and you're Pisces, you want to be taking a look at what's going on for when you get, oh my gosh, look at June 21st. You're going to have a solar eclipse in Cancer. That's a new start on love and romance for you. So get out there, join a dating service, whatever you need to get, start something on that day, June 21st, okay? And what was the other one? Was it health?
Yeah, she wanted to know about health.
Yeah, pay very good attention to health. You're a Pisces, and it's so easy for you to get knocked off balance, especially if you're taking medication. Very often, you got to calibrate that. Also, you want to be very cautious with emotions and use your mind to get those emotions under control, because you can really spiral if you're not careful about that.
Well, hope that helps. Thank you so much for calling and joining. And thanks to everybody that texted in, all the listeners that called in as well. And of course, astrologer Anne has her wonderful website where you can find more resources, and she can also do private readings for you as well.
Yes, astrologeranne.com. And thank you so much for having me today. Gee, it was fabulous to be with you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, a lot more coming up here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. So, Ashley, thank you so much for that. You are the one that told me about how fabulous astrologer Anne was. And I think definitely a lot of callers and listeners were wanting to get some advice from her. And I'm sorry for anybody that we didn't end up actually getting to answer your question. But of course, you're welcome to go check her out on her website. So definitely was fascinating for me. I definitely am not somebody that reads my horoscope every day, but it was just interesting. We were talking during the break about different things that are going to be happening in 2020 and how this has been a lifelong pursuit of hers in terms of learning and the science of it for her is pretty remarkable. So it's fascinating for me to learn more about, because I'm not necessarily somebody that checks out my horoscope often. So, okay, today is Friday, and on Fridays, Anna De Vellantes always has a relationship expert on the show to talk about relationships, all different types of relationships. Of course, that was part of the reason why so many people were texting and calling in and asking astrologer and questions. A lot of them were related to relationship questions, whether they be related to your family, friends, or in the romantic sense. I thought it would be great to check in with the Joy of Mom founder, Vicky Reese. It's a wonderful online community of moms, and she has over... Vicky, how many followers do you have on the, in this online community?
Hey, G, we have over 2.5 million followers that reach like usually around 40 million every couple weeks.
Oh my goodness.
With our content.
I think you're really onto something there.
I think it's the connection of like raw, real, you know, moms.
Am I doing a good job explaining what it is, that it's this online community? It's a force of women. It's a message board. It's resources. It's everything.
Yeah, that's exactly. We've been doing everything socially on Facebook, and we connect every day. We have a private Facebook as well that's literally 24/7. We are beyond exciting. We're finally, a million years later, launching our membership in January. And so it's just really getting behind, galvanizing moms. It's about all that's most meaningful and important. They don't care about superficial things. Our group, everybody, they call each other a part of the tribe. But it's just really about stepping up, showing up. They're a support system for one another. And now we're going to be bringing in, you know, some of our favorite things we've curated, that it's really all about empowering them. You know, so it's a little different. It's not your influencer model. And by the way, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can totally hear you. It sounds good.
Oh,
Ashley, are we good with her on sound? Okay, fantastic. Okay,
great.
So,
and by the way, happy holidays. And so wild how literally your name popped up 7 or 8 times as I'm writing the letter G. And when I walked off the elevator here at Soho, I literally saw the guy whose name I kept writing in it, and it was searing into your name. I'll have to tell him afterwards.
It was
so something bigger's going on to spread this message.
Absolutely. It was meant to be. And you are our relationship expert for the day. So it was funny. We were texting and you said that this is something that had come up very prevalently recently in the last couple of weeks. What are some of your thoughts, whether it be related to, a parent's relationship with a child versus romantic relationships? What are some things people need to be thinking about as they approach the new year?
Okay, well, I'm going to share something that is so heavy, I can't even begin to tell you. And, I am saying this with a very heavy heart. And that's when I said you would not believe the past 2 weeks what's been going on, and then for you to ask me this. And that's why I felt, let me push back my meeting here to share this. My sister passed away 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm so
actually,
sorry
it's,
to
thanks.
Hear that,
it's,
Vicky.
It's a week and a half ago. It's not even in 2 weeks. I mean, not even 2 weeks yet. And so when thank you so much. Those horrible things happen, and if you just reevaluate everything, and I know how busy we all get with time, with multitasking, with doing things that are kind of, I don't want me to say putting out fires, but just being moms, being women, being, you know, living in this day and age, there's so much stuff that sucks our time, that distracts us. And when something like that, so jarring and unexpected, she was sick, however, she was doing better, and we had all gathered for her only grandchild's first birthday party, and this happened the next night. It was just, I can't even tell you. It reminds us how precious relationships are, how we need to tell those we love that we love them, how we need to make time no matter what. And going into this new year, that literally is my mantra, because you just don't know when things, so to speak, you know, get stolen in the night.
Well, our condolences to you, Vicky. And I just it speaks volumes about who you are as a person to be able to come on and share this story. And I know that it's with an open heart and with the purpose of making sure that other people hear this message from you. And it is very important to be reminded. It seems that mindful living has been something that you have talked about before, and this seems to be a lesson in that as well.
Absolutely. And here I'm coming. I mean, my work, my labor of love, my, you know, forever. I mean, when you and I met, it was so long ago, you know, and I was doing, again, positive, you know, children's products. I've always been about mindfulness. And even on that path, you slip into, you know, I don't have many regrets. I've made mistakes by trusting the wrong people. I paid prices dearly. I mean, things that took years to, like, undo when I thought I was doing the right thing and trusted the wrong people. So here I've been present, you know, active, practicing, you know, living and working in this whole mindfulness, you know, way of living. And sometimes when things like that happen, it's just reminders.
Well, I think
and it's wild. I just have to share a dear friend of mine who just walked by, who's joining us on this journey coming in January. He's literally leaving a major position to bring all this literally mindfulness and empowerment to moms and women and all these subgroups. I mean, I'm walking out in front of the bathrooms. That's a cell-free zone I can use. Or
right.
Not cell-free, it's cell-okay zone. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. So I think this is super important, especially a message for working moms, because you are a working mom, and this is really difficult for moms who, even if you maybe don't have a job where you're leaving the home and your full-time work is making sure that the household runs properly. That's in of itself is a full-time
job.
Mm-hmm. A huge job, and a job that has truly, you know, there's research that shows there's massive amounts. I mean, that job should require at least a six-figure salary, you know, if there was money actually attached to it. But then on top of that, there are a lot of moms that are working jobs outside of the home as well. And of course, and think of single mothers who are working multiple jobs. But you say this is super important because women tend to multitask and want to take care of everyone else. And you're saying make sure that you're taking little care of yourself, and then you're also making that time for the important things and the important people in your life.
Absolutely. And G, can I just share one more thing if
sure.
we have time?
Sure.
Because it's another, like this, like a minute. Okay, this is like another serendipitous thing. It was my birthday yesterday, and my kids were in from out of town, and my daughter said we had dinner, and she said, can we each take a minute, because she lives in New York, and she's been doing this with her friends at birthdays and gatherings, and tell that person, but we did it for each of us, what is like some really beautiful, special memory and something you admire so much about them. Now, how great is that? If we do these at gatherings,
and
if we do these at family dinners.
And the great thing about that, Vicky, is you don't have to wait for a birthday or a special occasion to do that. It's something that you can do, and it doesn't matter how many people are in the gathering, whether it's just you and someone else, but it's something that needs to be spoken and not waited on, right?
Not waited on.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Well, happy birthday. And also, we are so sorry for the loss of your sister. And
thank you so much, G.
Definitely going to be thinking about you. And we thank you so much for joining us today with a little bit of relationship advice and tidbits of how to be a bit more mindful. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, too, G. Happy holidays.
You as well. All right. Right now, there's going to be a lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. This is Ji Suki filling in for her this week. In studio with me right now is the co-founder of Block Club Chicago, Seamus Toomey. Hi, Seamus. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming down to the studio during a holiday week. How is the news cycle right now? A little bit slower? catching your breath?
It is a little bit slower. Yeah, we had some stories we've been holding, and we've been telling the reporters, like, settle down. We're going to run them, but nobody's really online reading today or this week or so. But it's been a pretty well-read morning, so all's good.
Fantastic. Well, can you describe Block Club and what you guys do? I am a subscriber. I love what you do. It's hyper-local, but I'll let you take it away.
Well, thank you for subscribing, and to everyone out there who subscribes or reads or shares our stories. We are, yeah, like you said, we're hyper-local. We call it neighborhood news. We put a reporter in a certain set of neighborhoods. They're embedded there. They often live there, and they just write about anything that's of interest to them. And there's so many scoops out there because no one else is sort of doing it this way in Chicago. So it's been great. If you're looking to find out about what's happening in your Chicago neighborhood, Block Club's a great place because we are there and we're just always looking for stories.
And the other thing I love about it, it's a little bit different because it's not the typical, it seems a lot of the, you're covering beats that maybe might go, you know, might be missed by the average reporter, just because you tend to have reporters that live in the neighborhoods, reporting on the neighborhoods, seeing the changes day to day. And so I think it's fascinating for people, even if you don't live in the city, if you live in the suburbs and you're listening, and it's a great way to get some news that maybe you won't be able to find in other outlets.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we love it because we say, like, no story is too small for us. You know, if so,
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
they're really small.
Right. We don't need, you know, we don't need like an example, you know, three examples of it to make it a trend. If it's interesting in
Absolutely.
Logan Square, if it's interesting in Englewood, we'll write just about that interesting thing.
Yeah, and because you guys are small, it's a lot easier for you to kind of compete at this, you know, very tiny micro level. You're going to go in and focus on something too, you know, which I like.
Yep, we're about a year and a half in, and the readership has been fantastic. We are trying to get our push to 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year, and we're at like 9,779. So,
okay, dear listener, I know right now, I hope you're going to be excited about this and not roll your eyes, because it's the end of 2019. 2020 is approaching. Of course, everyone's going to be doing these sort of look backs on what's been going on in the news. And I kind of wanted your take, Seamus, on what you thought might be a mix of stories and sort of why they stand out in your mind.
All right.
Well, so let's start with the very first one. I'm excited about this.
I'm a big proponent of, you know, life is not just crime and politics. It's a little bit of everything. It's silly, it's strange, it's fun, it's serious. So I brought a mix of different sorts of stories. So but you know, we got to go with the franchise here. Chance the Snapper,
of course, widely covered by every outlet and nationally as well. But boy, did I love this story.
This was wonderful. And, you know, credit goes to Mina Bloom, our Logan Square reporter, who broke the story. She was the first one to write about
it. Block Club broke it?
We broke that story. And believe me, we're not shy of telling people about that. No, it's just been great. It's the perfect sort of neighborhood news story because a subscriber actually saw the alligator and called us and let us know about it. And Mina, who lives out there, was at the lagoon within minutes, confirmed it, and we've been running with it ever since. You know, it was the sort of story that it was perfect for kind of a sleepy summer. Everyone could get behind it, everyone could understand it, nobody got hurt, it didn't really cost anything. It was great, and we were really happy to be a part of it.
Well, I love the spin-off stories from this. It ended up becoming a Chance the Snapper, first of all, then it was named Chance. And then, you know, the Snapper, which is so great. And then that everyone started having watch parties. So everyone started going to the Humboldt Lagoon to see if they could spy and see the alligator. So I think that's pretty fascinating. And then there was merchandise. And then there was a romance that came from it. And this guy who ended up catching Chance now has became a Chicago hero. He's at the Cubs game, and then he finds a girlfriend that lives. I don't know if they're still dating, but they are. They are still dating? So yep. Tell us a little bit
about
this.
Yeah, sure. No, we just his name's Frank Robb. He lives in Florida, and he had never been to Chicago before. He's never seen snow. He's been here seven.
You're kidding?
He's been here seven times.
He's never seen snow before.
Never been in snow before. Um, and he's the first time he was up here, we joke, like, he didn't just catch the alligator. He also, like, met hopefully the love of his life. They're still together.
And they're still together.
And he's been back here 7 times because there's always some charity, to some reason to come back. And he's really tried to spin this not into a publicity engine for himself. He's really tried to make this about rescued pets and animals and getting people to donate to different causes to support animal welfare. So he's a great guy. He is very, very earnest and just about the nicest person
I've ever met. And personable. And that beard was famous too, that the giant beard that he had.
He is very he's dryly funny. He was up for last time he was in town, he did a fundraiser for Block Club, and we sat him down and got to ask him a million questions. So we'll
what was the most surprising thing to find out, if you can recall?
Well, you know, one thing that blew my mind, he said he can grow that beard in like 3 months. He said it grows like almost like a cartoon, you know, it just starts sprouting out. But fascinating stuff just about, you know, how interested the mayor was and in catching it. He's a fascinating guy, and I'm sure we're going to see him again.
Well, it captivated the entire Chicagoland region. I mean, not just people in the city, but I think everybody. So it was really fascinating. We're going to have a lot more coming up with Seamus right here on WGN Radio. Here with Seamus Toomey, co-founder of Block Club Chicago, talking about some of the stories that he thinks are important that happened in 2019, a little bit of a year in review. We just talked about Chance the Snapper, but now let's move on. You want to do, maybe we'll do a serious one. The Lincoln Yards, I know, has been very controversial. That's something that you guys have always been keeping tabs of.
Right. This is one of the bigger business stories or development stories in Chicago this year. I'm fascinated by it because it's going to completely transform this area. It's all like along the Chicago River. You know, it's near the Morton Salt Plant for anyone that can picture driving on the Kennedy. And it's going to be just this whole series of high rises and glass and steel. And they're going to redesign the riverbanks are going to be pathways. So there's two schools of thought. Some people are in love with it, the way it's going to turn a junkyard into this mega development. And some people think it looks like you're importing suburbia into Chicago at a huge taxpayer expense.
To me, I know about the area because of Stanley's Fruits and Vegetables, which now is no longer there, I think. And
it is gone.
It is gone. And you could always get a ton of fruits and veggies for really on the cheap. And then the Hideout, which is this awesome music venue that's been there for years, decades, I think. And then
absolutely.
And then there are a couple of restaurants there as well. So, so this has been very controversial.
It's an odd area. And for fans of the Hideout, you know how odd it is. It's, you know, surrounded by a lot of industry, a lot of parking lots, but there is some charm to what's still there. When Stanley's closed, the fruit stand, people were so sad about it. We did that story, and just for days and days and days, people would comment on it. But Lincoln Yards is really, you know, it had a lot of the intrigue that Chicagoans like in their politics. There was much divisiveness on the vote. There was intrigue leading up to it. Would Mayor Lightfoot support it? Wouldn't she? Did she have the power to block it? If she blocked it and they overruled her, would she look bad in her first month in office? So there was wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. There was additional affordable housing added to it, but the opponents are always going to be against it, and they will talk about it for years to come. And it remains to be seen if it's as glorious as the Sterling Bay developers promise it will be, and if it's, you know, truly a drag on the school system like a lot of the opponents fear.
And of course, the Lincoln Yards was brought up frequently in the teacher strike as well. A lot of teachers saying, "Well, you're finding money for this, and you're getting money for this. Why can't that help fund what we're asking for?"
Absolutely. So, in a year of the teacher strike, it was a gleaming example of what you could do when you divert money from the school district from a TIF district.
Right. Okay. Of course, we're basing your list off of the atypical list. So that's why the teacher strike isn't on there. We're not talking about all we're talking about stories that maybe you might think as you're listening, oh yeah, that's right, that was a really big, intriguing, fascinating story in 2019. Okay, so some feel good stories, which you guys do such a great job with. Tell me about these carolers. What was the surrounding circumstances and why was this so dramatic?
Oh, yeah, this is the sort of one that could get me a little weepy talking about. But this is in Logan Square. There's a house on Logan Boulevard that every year for 35 years, Frank Lopez, the gentleman who lived there, would just decorate it to the point where everyone in the area knew about it. They would bring their kids to it and check it out. It was just wonderful. Who knows what his electric bill was? I'm sure it was insane. Frank died this year. He died in October, which was extremely sad. He planned his final display, Christmas display, from his hospital bed. He really wanted it to go well. His daughter followed through with it, did the whole thing, and then out of nowhere, the whole neighborhood, when he heard that he had died, they spontaneously formed a caroling group. And this crowds and crowds of people came out and caroled outside his home the other night, before Christmas. They changed the words to, instead of Old Christmas Tree, it was Old Christmas House. And they worked Frank Lopez's name into it. And his daughter was so overwhelmed by this that, I mean, she was brought to tears that, you know, for years he had delighted the neighborhood and they actually came out to say thank you.
Wow. So. And she was able to continue lighting the house?
She said she's gonna keep doing it. She lives out of state, though, so I don't think she was promising that it's going to happen forever. But whoever, if it does get sold, someone's got some big shoes to fill.
Wow, that is a really good story. Okay, so let's move on to another great feel-good local story. This is involves an ice cream man.
This one, we do a lot of stories about neighbors coming together because it's inspirational to us, and we think people really like to know about these and have people come together and help. This was Mario the Ice Cream Man. He drives if you live around Logan Square, you probably know him. He drives the San Luis Freeze ice cream truck around for years and years and years and years. Some of his fans noticed that he had sort of disappeared for days this summer, and they finally tracked him down and found out that his wife was battling cancer. He had had a heart attack. His truck broke down. He was sort of having everything falling apart in his life. So this kind gentleman got his truck fixed. He started a GoFundMe. Initially, they wanted to raise maybe about $5,000 to help pay medical bills. By the time the word spread and the neighborhood found out about it, I just checked now, it's up to $17,000. So, and it's, you know, not necessarily life-changing money for Mario, but it's enough to help him pay his bills and have a Christmas that is not necessarily just worrying about how he's going to pay his wife's medical bills. And she's doing better, we hear.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. And were you able to talk to Mario?
Yes, I believe Mina Bloom, our reporter out there, he's somewhat reluctant about it. Yeah, reminds me of the Paeta Man story,
yes,
in Little Village. From
it
a
very
couple
much
years
does.
Ago. And that was and unfortunately that gentleman passed away this year. But that was another one where it was a GoFundMe, I believe, and it raised somewhere in the order of like $150,000. That was. You know, that did change his life, and it made his last couple of years, I would imagine, a lot more comfortable.
Well, I think that's fascinating. I always think of the hardworking, unsung heroes of all of our neighborhoods, and I love any time that someone who exemplifies that gets the attention and the help they deserve, because they certainly wouldn't ever make it about them or ask for that type of attention, which Mario sounds like he's that kind of guy.
Right. And that's exactly one of the reasons these people rally behind them, is because they know they wouldn't do this for themselves. So they need that little extra boost to really push it over the edge.
So Seamus, one more time, give us the website.
We are at blockclubchicago.org. We're a nonprofit independent newsroom, and we're excited to tell stories like this. If you got them, let us know.
I love that. And you're the only one in the office this week, huh?
We, you know, our reporters like to work out in the neighborhoods because that's where the news is.
Teasing,
so, yeah, so that's what I'm going with.
Okay, so I've got a story for you if you want to weigh in on it for the next couple minutes. I teased at the beginning of the show that there's 13 gadgets that made the biggest impact this decade. This comes from the Business Insider. So, you know, everyone's doing the look back on the decade as well. So, for example, I'm not going to go through all 13, but a lot of them are most all of them are tech gadgets. One of them is the Nest Learning Thermostat. It seems that a lot of people listening, a lot of my friends have the Nest now in their home. It's a smart thermostat for creating an intuitive and functional smart home product.
Yeah, I saw an ad for this for over the holidays where the guy turns down the temperature in his house like 2 degrees. I'm thinking, like, is that all that necessary to turn it down 2 degrees, like 10 minutes before you get home?
It's very elegant, but it can think about what you want your home to feel like before you even need to tell it to. So there you go. The Oculus Rift, virtual reality, of course, has been big this past year. There's been a lot of VR places where you can take the kids and have a VR experience, the VR haunted houses even, I know, this past October. So that's been one of the things. The Galaxy Note, the Samsung Galaxy Note, I know there's always the Android people versus the iPhone folks. A lot of Apple products on here, including the iPad and the Apple Watch. Think about it. This all happened in the last decade. The Apple Watch Series 1 was rolled out in 2015. Can that be right? I guess so.
Yeah, I'm an Apple guy, and whenever they come out with something, I'm like, I don't need that. I'm never going to get that.
You mean we haven't had Apple Watches all along? Yeah. And the Nintendo Switch, I know, has been really popular. I'm sure a lot of parents listening bought a Nintendo Switch for their children. And Apple AirPods, which you just admitted to me you bought for your... How old is she?
She's 9. Hi, Kelly. But here's my defense for this. Like, I've probably spent, $200 over the last 5 years on cheap,
right.
the frozen headphones that last for 15 minutes or so. And then, so I said, we're going to have to get her something that she can't break. She might lose, but that she can't chew through the cord, whatever.
Well, I wouldn't even get myself those. I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. But to round off the top of the list, the top three, that's a Roku streaming stick. The second one is the Amazon Echo. Of course, everyone loves their Echoes and their Alexas. And the Apple iPhone 4 was the number one gadget that had the biggest impact this decade. And that was rolled out in 2010, if you can believe it. The Apple iPhone 4 in 2010. Boy, do all of us feel a bit older. And you know what? Thank you, Seamus, for being with me today and taking a look back on 2019. And you let me know the next time whether your daughter, your 9-year-old, has lost those AirPods or not.
There's a good chance.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.